Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we certainly would love to hear from you, and we're so glad that you've welcomed us into your home. Please send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And you can always listen to our show as a podcast. Just go out to EWTN Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio/podcast, or wherever you happen to listen to your podcasts. Today, we're welcoming back Lisa Livesey to our show. Lisa is an author, a devotional writer, and an essayist who contributes to the National Catholic Register and Guidepost Publications. She publishes weekly one-minute photo devotions at lisalivesey.com, which are enjoyed worldwide by Visio Divina prayer groups. She also serves on the executive team as the Unbound Heart of the Father Ministries. She has 5 amazing children and 8 beautiful grandchildren, and she's here to speak to us today about the beautiful book that she has authored called Minding Mom, A Caregiver's Devotional Story, and how caregivers can find encouragement and hope in knowing God's will always take care of those who take care of others. And sometimes the tasks are so mundane and laborious that we forget that. And so this is a beautiful book that comes up and says, hey, I'm here, I once was you, and this is a beautiful book to help you on that beautiful journey as you are loving. And sometimes it's a short journey, and sometimes it's a long journey. But God will be with you however long it is.
It's published by En Route Books and Media, E-N-R-O-U-T-E, Books and Media. And you can get it right here at EWTNRC.com. Pray you're being blessed by Lisa's sharing, by this book. It was a great show yesterday. Hope you're finding encouragement that you're not alone. And so we want you to be cared for as you care for other people. So plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Lisa Livesey. She is the author of Minding Mom, A Caregiver's Devotional Story. Go out to our website, lisalivesey.com. Well, Lisa, we want you first to tell our family just a snapshot version of the book, what they can find in it, and then we want to talk about your deeper understanding, what God did in your life through it.
Sounds great. Well, the book was written as a result of a year that I spent of a very intense caregiving for my mom. My dad passed away suddenly, and my mom was in mid-stage Alzheimer's. And I lived a mile away with my family, and 4 of our 5 children were living at home at the time. And it was just a year of a lot of tedium, a lot of extraordinary things happening as well, though. And it really made me know what caregivers feel like, and that you're in the trenches every day. And so I wanted to reach out to caregivers and let them know that you're heard, you're seen, even if you don't feel like you are. And after it was all over, I'd started contributing to a caregiver's devotional. And as a result of that, I thought, let me just write my story, because devotions are one at a time kind of thing. And I wanted to tell the whole story of that year, which was exactly 365 days, which in itself was remarkable, and the book talks about that. And so the book is divided into seasons, the 4 seasons of the year, but then there's a final season. And in that, there's 52 just small caregiving vignettes, some ordinary, some extraordinary, to just show people that God cares for the caregiver, too.
And then you also have, at the end of each chapter, a little reflection, right, which is helpful just to for you to recognize where God has you in your journey of being a caregiver.
Well, I mean, caregiving is really like a wilderness experience. Mm-hmm. And when the Israelites were in the wilderness, God went before them with a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night, and he gave them manna every morning. Not enough for the next day, just that day.
Wow.
And so we can just remember that in the wilderness, God is going before us. And I really felt that he did that for me in a lot of ways. And I hope that when people read my book, they can see that and be encouraged for their own story.
Yeah.
That he will do that for them as well.
Mm-hmm. Anything unexpected in that
unexpected
year?
You know, I was given a really beautiful gift that year, which was just the time with my mom. She had wanted to spend more time with me and be a little closer in years prior to that, and I had my hands full. Mm-hmm. I had my five kids and I was homeschooling and just a busy life. But that year, you know, I was forced to take more time, to spend time with her daily, and it was really beautiful, and there was a sweetness that developed. And even though she had Alzheimer's, I found that her emotional core was still pretty accurately called things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just had some really beautiful moments together, and I felt like it was a gift to both of us.
Yeah.
And you know, I think about euthanasia, and I thought, you know, if my mom, when she knew she had Alzheimer's, if she had thought, I'm not going to do this. You know, it's expensive. It's you know, hard for everybody.
I don't want to be a burden.
Exactly. Then both of us would have missed out on that.
Yeah.
And so I was really thankful. And it opened my eyes to how caregiving can be a gift sometimes as well.
Right. And you don't want to miss that journey of love and sacrifice.
Yeah.
I mean, because everybody sacrifices. First of all, you in being split in between two houses, your marriage, your own family, your own personal spiritual growth. You're going one way and then all of a sudden we're on a detour and God's like, no, we're gonna go this road. And you're like, but Lord, I have this stuff going on over here. It's like, and let it go, because now this is the tyranny of the urgent, right?
One of the things that was really beautiful, my parents had been wonderful grandparents to my children. And so,
what were their names, grandparent names?
Oh, Gigi and Pop, or Gigi and Papa, but they called them Gigi and Pop. And it was really sweet. And so, you know, my 8-year-old and 11th grader also really they were really grieving because it was just so sudden.
Mm-hmm.
But I really saw my children kind of pull together and help in that time as well. So as much as there was the split, there was also sort of a coming together as a family. I mean, my oldest son was 24. He was living at home and working, and he said to me, anything I can do to help. And so he went over and stayed in a spare bedroom at my mom's house that year. And it was amazing. So from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. every day for a 24-year-old guy, that's pretty amazing. And he was like her. Did you ever hear of that devotion called Sleeping Saint Joseph?
Yeah, he was right at my bedside.
Okay, he was her sleeping Saint Joseph that year. And he was my sleeping Saint Joseph too, because I didn't have to worry about mom.
Right.
And she did sleep well, but sometimes she got up in the middle of the night. And then towards the end, you know, there's things like with Alzheimer's, we had to make sure the doors were locked because you don't want the person to wander out. But even that, she would be wandering around the house sometimes at night. And he was monitoring that. And that was a really beautiful way that we worked together. My daughters, my birthday was about a month after my dad passed away, and I have the most beautiful memory because my older daughter was still in town from being overseas, and my dad would make me this delicious cherry pie every year for my birthday with like latticework crust, and it was like a work of art, and my younger daughter made that pie. And then they got a few of my closest friends together, and we had breakfast at a local place in town, and it was so wonderful. And But this is just the reality of the caregiving.
Right.
So we're at the table, and we had breakfast, and they bring out the pie and singing happy birthday, and all of a sudden my phone rings. And it's the aide, Lisa, your mom locked me out of the house.
Oh my God.
So I went racing off, and it was only 5 minutes away. And by the time I got there, she let her back in, and everything was fine. But then they brought the pie over, and we all sat around mom's kitchen table and had pie there. And
right.
So it was really special just to see my children kind of rally. My youngest son, he was a magician. He liked to do magic tricks. And so he came in and was, I talk about that in one, I call it, he was called the Great Trevini. So, and then my oldest daughter, bless her heart, she had just had her third child and she was staying there. And it was crazy all those first couple months. And my sister, bless her heart, she came in for the first 3 weeks. after Dad passed away and was with my mom, because there is so much to do after someone passes away. So many little tedium, so many details that we have to do, and it's a full-time job for about a month. And so she was there with mom while I did those things. And then she came back again at Christmas time. She took the Family Medical Leave Act and was able to work something out. And so for a few weeks, I didn't have to be there every morning at 7 a.m. And that was a real blessing as well. So I really saw how family pulled together, and then friends. We had just, my parents had this wonderful friend, Sharon, who they had helped her when in earlier times, but she emailed me and said, "Lisa, I want to help." And she had professional caregiving experience, and so she would come a couple days a week, and she was so good to mom. She just would take her to the pet store, and they'd look at the fish and the kitties together, and or I bought a pass to a garden center, and they would go over, and it was this exquisite garden with all these professional gardeners that have their one little area, and Sharon would take pictures of mom, and just they would have a lovely time together, and so she was a real gift to me. A friend from church, Mrs. Hill, she was a retired elementary school teacher that taught math. And so my son, who was 8, I'm like, what am I going to do with his homeschooling? And so I would take him over to Mrs. Hill's house a couple times a week to get math tutoring. Well, what I didn't realize till later, I knew Mrs. Hill's husband had died a few months earlier, but I didn't connect the dots until really a couple years later when she shared with me that Trevor was a gift to her as well, because she was grieving, and he would go over to her house, and Mrs. Hill had a dog and this couple cats, and then they would go for a walk together. They'd walk the dog, and one time when I went to pick up my son, she was out there in the driveway throwing a football with him, and she was just good to him, and it was a match. And so that's what God does. He brings people together in unique ways,
right,
in these valleys, in that wilderness.
Right. You know. But you did this well, in that you allowed others to help you. There are some times in with caregivers, they don't, you know, it's like, no, this is just my little burden and I'm going to manage this. And that's to their own detriment.
Yeah.
Like, you need others to come up alongside of you so that you could do this and take a retreat, take a breath back, right? When you could breathe again. And the beautiful part of family, and we got to witness this with our parents, is that, you know, in the beautiful richness of the Catholic Church, we teach our children how to live, and then we also teach them how to die. And this is what family does.
Yeah.
And this isn't just what mommy is doing. This is what we are doing. And then you're teaching that to the next generation so that your children will have a file for love and sacrifice and commitment and obedience, right?
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of what family teaches. If we if we can cultivate that, when we could say, because sometimes caregivers crash and burn.
Yeah.
You know, and then nobody gets to participate, and then till you're forced to put someone in a nursing home, and maybe we could have had a better exit plan.
And I had someone warn me about that. One of my parents' friends said, you know, "Lisa, don't get burned out, be careful." And that was something I was always struggling with all year, is this too much for me? And people that read the book see that, they see that struggle. And I'd gotten to the point where I had decided to place her. And you know, there's nothing wrong. I didn't end up needing to place my mom, but sometimes people come to that point.
Right.
Think about the Good Samaritan. He placed the person he was caring for with someone and gave them money and said, "I'm gonna follow up with you," you know? So sometimes that is what needs to happen, but by God's grace, I didn't need to do that.
It's just powerful. You shared so many things. But we often pray for our family, for renewal in the family, and it's under attack by the enemy. And you know, you said as you reflected on your relationship with mom, you remembered how she wanted to spend time with you. And you never quite got around to it, which is so common for all of us.
Yeah.
Not that this situation happened, you know, on purpose for that, maybe a part of it, but you said, "I'm looking back now and I got time. It wasn't the time I was thinking about or what, but I had time with her." And the restoration or just deepening of that relationship. And then your children's involvement. You know, instead of being shielded from things or whatever, I mean, they got involved with that.
And,
and that's the renewal of the church.
That's true.
You know, and of the family.
There was a beautiful moment of prayer with my son my son William, who it was he was going to a senior year of high school, and this was about a month before mom passed away. And as towards the end, with Alzheimer's, you know, they don't talk as much. And so mom was maybe saying a word or two at a time, but he'd come over for lunch. And my parents would always serve people food at their kitchen table. And so my kids had a lot of meals there. So I said, why don't you come over for lunch? So I made sandwiches and we're just sitting down at the table. And for some reason, before we started to eat, I asked mom if she would say the blessing. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I asked her, because even as I was doing it, I realized that she can't do this well. She launched into this fluent prayer of sentences, of thanking God, and just like she would have in earlier years. And my son and I just looked at each other wide-eyed, because we knew it was a miracle. The Holy Spirit had spoken to her, spoken through her in that moment, and it was a mini miracle. So there's gifts like that with family, but she was able to do that because she had been a woman of prayer.
Yeah.
And prayer is a big part of this. I mean, I think of prayer as being like the gold and silver threads that are woven through a tapestry. Mm-hmm. You know, underneath the tapestry, it's like knotted, but on top, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And prayer was a big part of what got me through. I mean, I talked about adoration chapels yesterday, but then we're just calling out to God every minute, like, help, help.
Right.
I mean, there was this time that, and you have to laugh sometimes,
yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
There was a time when it was a couple months in, and I'd put mom to bed, and it was winter, beginning into winter, and it was getting cold in the house. And so I turned up the heat, nothing happened, tried again, nothing happened. Mm. So I'm like, oh. So I go to the kitchen drawer and look in the tattered address book, Dad's handwriting, the oil company, and call them. Well, a technician comes to the door. It's 10 o'clock at night. Mm. And he said, well, where's the oil tank? The oil tank? I have no idea where the oil tank is. I grew up in this house. I don't know where the oil tank is. He said, what about the crawl space? I don't know. The crawl space. Oh no, that was my mom's nemesis. My dad was a very frugal, creative engineer. The crawl space was where he stashed all his treasures, like things he'd gotten from the trash or a home improvement project, like the extra plywood. Mm-hmm. So I took the man downstairs, and there's like 3 foot high doors, and opened them and like pointing in. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, he wasn't a young man and he wasn't a thin man. Uh-huh. And he bends over 90 degrees and is shuffling down the stony walkway between rusty bicycles and plywood. Uh-huh. And at the very far corner of the crawl space is the oil tank. Mm-hmm. So he did something, comes back out, kind of straightens himself up and goes into the next room and does something with the heater. And soon, blessed heat was pouring through the vents of mom's house. But you have to laugh. But after that, I was just like, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Right. I don't even know where my parents' oil tank is. Mm-hmm. You know, just help me.
But you never needed to know. That was information you didn't need to know. Your father took care of all of that.
That's right.
And then here it is, gets passed on to you. It's kind of like, I didn't need to know that information.
There we go. And when I needed to know, somebody else was able to help me.
That's right. That's right.
Well, we go back again and again to the verse that the Lord gave you, the sign that he gave
you. The sign he gave me.
Fear not. I am
the one who helps you. Mm-hmm. And that was so encouraging. I mean, there was another time where I had dropped my younger son off at a homeschool class, and that was at the bottom of the hill, and the top of the hill was a Catholic church with an adoration chapel. So I would always go up, and I've got an hour for adoration. Mm-hmm. You know, well, before I could get to the top of the hill, the phone rings, and it's my mom's aide again. I can't find her mother. You know, she said she wanted to go over to your house alone, walk over. So she had left the house, and the aide so started driving after her to follow her. But you have to cross a busy road to get to my house. Well, mom had gone through back behind someone's backyard, and they couldn't find her. So that's when she called me. So I go racing over, park the car. I'm in the backyard. Mom. Can't find her. I thought maybe she went inside the house. So I go and I knock at the front door, and it's 1 o'clock like a Friday afternoon. And a retired guy comes to the door, and I just go, is my mother in there? I'm like not even thinking. And then he just kind of looks at me with this smirk on his face. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so ridiculous. So I told him what was going on. Then he came out, started helping us look. And then I noticed this little indentation in the bushes. And so I pushed through and calling mom, and there in the next corner of the next yard, she said, Lisa, when she heard me calling, and then she started to cry.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so she was so relieved to see me. I was obviously relieved to see her. And we went home and had a cup of tea in our kitchen. But these are the moments of just.
Yes.
real.
Thank you for sharing such beautiful, beautiful stories, and they're all there in the book. Mm-hmm. We're going to hold you over for the final segment. Plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away. Welcome back. We're wrapping up our conversation with Lisa Libsey and her wonderful book, Minding Mom. We only have a couple of minutes left, and just from your own heart, what would you like to share in the last few minutes?
Well, think about what did Jesus do at the Last Supper before he took the bread and the cup? He washed the feet of the disciples. So caregivers are washing the feet of their loved one every day. And sometimes you're also walking in the valley of the shadow of death. And what does the psalm say? Fear no evil, for I am with you. And so you're using your hands to care for your loved one, and God is upholding you with his righteous right hand. In our tradition of the Catholic Church, St. John Henry Newman is one of our mentors. And he has this beautiful line, lead kindly light amidst the encircling gloom, lead thou me on. The night is dark and I am far from home. Lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step enough for me. You're in a wilderness of caregiving, but God will lead you like he did with the cloud and the fire, and he'll give you the manna that you need each day to do that. And so just know that he's upholding you and that you're seen. I publish a 1-minute photo devotion every Thursday. A lot of the themes, it's called Olive Tree Blog on my website, but a lot of the themes are of peace, endurance, wisdom, things that you need as a caregiver. And whenever I see the people reading that and can see where they're from, I just am always praying for them every Thursday. So just know that you're seen and that God sees you and that he'll uphold you and strengthen you as you're going through this valley.
And the important thing to remember is that you can't do this alone. Mm-hmm. You need God's help. Mm-hmm. No matter how much you love your mother or committed to your spouse, whatever it is, we need God's help to do this. It's supernatural love. Mm-hmm. It's love to the end. It's enduring love.
And that's what he wants. He wants us to be reaching, calling, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Mm-hmm.
Lisa, thank you so much.
God.
Welcome to
thank
the
you.
EWE10 family. Such
thank
an
you.
Important work.
Great to
again,
be here.
Minding Mom, a caregiver's devotional story, EWE10RC.com. You're in a wilderness, but the Lord is very near and very close to you. In the fire and in a cloud, you know, with you, he will be glorified in the midst of your work of being a servant, washing the feet of your loved one. You're an important part of the EWE10 family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.